to the Gum Guru podcast. Thank you so much for being with us today. Today's episode is called Decoding Precision Dentistry, Navigating Prophy versus PMA. I am Jason Kong here with Dr. Macon Singletary, and I'm so excited for today's show because we also have Monica Singletary here on with us today. And now Monica's usually, most times, she's in the room with us keeping the both of us straight. I mean, this show would just fall off the rails, Dr. Singletary, if Monica weren't on here with us. But we finally got her behind the mic. Monica, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Excellent. Well, Dr. Singletary, I read the title, Precision Dentistry. Tell me a little bit about that and what we need to know about prophy and PMA.
Well, prophylaxis or prophy is it's a superficial cleaning. And so dentistry is precise all the way through. You know, you ask if you do a filling, there's, you know, general dentists do restorations and crowns. You know, they have to be precise. When we're doing a periodontal appointment, a periodontal maintenance appointment, that's the PMA, versus a prophylaxis, there is precision there. It's all about removing the bacteria and then how we go about removing the bacteria and the time involved to do that. And it should not be taken lightly because it's the most important part of maintaining oral health as well as systemic health, which we've talked about.
Yeah, so we've got some definitions here, and how is this incorporated into your practice? How do you know when you're going to use this?
Well, when you've had periodontal therapy, root planing with anesthetic, where we go below the gum, that's a periodontal procedure, and that qualifies a patient to be a periodontal maintenance appointment. Now, Ms. Singletary has the ADA definition for periodontal maintenance appointment, and she might be able to read it if you want.
Sure. We call the American Dental Association on a regular basis at our office, as well as the American Academy of Periodontology. So the two things we're talking about today are periodontal maintenance cleanings versus prophy cleanings. And as Dr. Singletary was saying, a periodontal maintenance appointment, these types of appointments are set up after you've had initial periodontal therapy. And that periodontal therapy consists of either scaling and root planing or it's what we call osseous surgery. The reason you do either one of those is if there's bacteria, calculus below the gum line. So Dr. Singletary would go in and remove that. And after that point, you would qualify to be a periodontal maintenance. So you're maintaining your periodontal health. On the other side of the spectrum, there is the prophy cleaning. And that's what probably most people are familiar with. Twice a year, you go to your dentist, they clean that area. They don't really do anything below the gum line because there's a seal there and your bacteria's not broken that seal and gone beneath there. So you're just getting your teeth cleaned on a regular basis. The difference between the two, there's a couple of them. The periodontal maintenance takes a little bit longer because you're going below the gum line. Prophy's is above the gum line. And also it takes a little bit more finesse. You have to have respect for the gingival tissue so that you don't hurt it. If you think about a sharp needle or a sharp instrument near the gum line, you want somebody who knows what they are doing. They do it on a regular basis. They're very precise, very good with that. So that really is the difference between the two. To find out if you're eligible for periodontal maintenance would be, number one, the way the insurance sees it would be you would have to have that initial periodontal therapy, which again is scaling and root planing or osseous surgery. And then a lot of plans allow for cleanings after that. And it's usually more than twice a year. It's usually three or four times a year based on what your clinician sees.
So would the precision cleaning replace a prophy cleaning, or do you still need to have, if you're recommended to have the precision cleaning, do you still have that on top of the prophy cleaning?
It's not a both and. It's going to be either or. So once you've had that initial, in fact, I've called the American Academy of Periodontology and asked them that because we wanted to be sure we're coding exactly correctly. And after you've had that initial therapy, SRP, or osseous surgery, you are going to remain a periodontal maintenance patient as long as you have teeth or implants.
The rest of your life.
Okay. So how is that designation made? Is that a recommendation from you, or is it a conversation that you have with the patient and then they're the ones who decide?
A little bit of both. So patients, when they come in to see me, I ask them, have you had periodontal therapy before? And most of the time they will say, oh, yes, I've had root planing. I don't want to do that again. Or, you know, and that's another topic that we will discuss probably next, but it is an evaluation that is done. When I probe and do an exam, 0 to 3 millimeters is a normal sulcus depth. And so anything deeper than 3, we call it a pocket. So we gently probe. And the patient may come in and say, yes, I've had root planing or I've had periodontal therapy, and they may not have anything deeper than 3 millimeters. They still are a periodontal maintenance patient since they've had therapy. But a person that comes in, sometimes they'll have those shallow probing depths. And when that individual cleans teeth, a hygienist or dentist, it's very, that's a superficial cleaning. Prophylaxis is just above the gum. Doesn't take a full hour. Our periodontal maintenance appointments are hour-long appointments across the board. And it's important because we are, when a patient comes in for a periodontal maintenance appointment or even just a prophylaxis, we probe 6 points on each tooth, 3 on the cheek side, 3 on the tongue side. And we're looking at not just the probing depth, because anything deep in 3 millimeters, the patient can't clean at home. That's where we work. But we're also looking at bleeding. Is there edema? Is there tenderness? Those aspects of the exam are important, whether they're a prophy patient or a periodontal maintenance appointment patient. A patient can be a prophylaxis patient and then kick over into a periodontal maintenance patient because of going through chemotherapy or going through medication that affects their ability to fight infection, autoimmune diseases that crop up later in life. And so it's not just they're branded the rest of their life a prophy patient, which they may like that because it's not as aggressive and doesn't take as long. But in our office, they're all hour-long appointments because that's what I do. I'm checking the gingival tissue health. I'm looking at the medical history, and we'll make sure that they're stable, whether they're a prophylaxis patient or not.
With periodontal disease, without getting the maintenance or going in for regular checkups, how quickly can this come back if you're not following through on the back end with the maintenance?
Well, if you're susceptible to periodontal disease, within 30 minutes of having your teeth cleaned, the bacteria is growing back. 24 hours after you had a cleaning, the bad guys, anaerobic bacteria, the ones that don't like oxygen, start to grow. So it's within 24 or 36 hours. If they aren't manipulating the bacteria, they're going to have the immune system respond. The ones that are susceptible are going to respond a lot quicker. The ones that are not, maybe a little bit longer. And that's another important aspect of the exam, is that, you know, when we blend the medical history, the x-rays, and our probings, I can tell a patient, you know, if they're susceptible or not. It can change, but the cycle of bacterial growth is immediate. That's why when patients say they brush once a day, I'm shaking my head whether they're susceptible or not. When you chew, you have bacteria showers in the bloodstream. You don't want the bacteria getting in the bloodstream because they can do other things that, as we have talked about in the past, dementia, rheumatoid arthritis, affects the heart, sugar level. So it's an ongoing issue. COVID wreaked havoc on a lot of my patients because they dropped out of the maintenance program.
Yeah, the being afraid to really, I guess, go outside of the home at times set a lot of people back, and I think it's more important than ever for folks to make sure that they're scheduling these appointments. You know, if it's something that you've been, if that you have put off and maybe been slow to get back into, you really need to be proactive in that regard. Monica, are there any sort of questions that you get regularly from the patients regarding this in terms of, I don't know if it's on the insurance side or just any sort of common questions or common threads that you seem to see in this sort of propositioning between which of the two?
We actually do, and I'm more at the front. I'm not a clinician at all, so I always learn from when I hear him speak, and I listen to the Gum Guru podcast just to learn myself. But I do get a lot of insurance questions, and the main question I think we probably get regarding this topic is, will my insurance cover periodontal maintenance? And let me clarify something earlier. Generally speaking, most insurance plans do, but you have to have two areas have to be affected. What the insurance is looking for is to see if there's a general state of disease in the mouth. And if there's just one little area that maybe it's, you know, it's not really related to general state of disease, it's just maybe a pocket in one spot due to position of teeth or whatever it may be, that generally does not qualify someone for periodontal maintenance. But if the two areas have had either scalene root planting or osseous surgery, that generally does. More and more, as far as insurance goes, we're seeing that insurance is trying to collect the fees from patients, but not pay out benefits for patients. I've been with the office since 2017, and it's gotten more and more restrictive for patients. So they do ask, will my insurance cover this? And that really varies from carrier to carrier. For example, MetLife, you have to have scaling and root planting within 24 months for them to cover it. And there are other stipulations for other insurance companies. So the best thing to do would be to give us a call if you have that question. We'll be glad to look into it for you to find out what your insurance will and won't do.
Yeah, I think that would alleviate a lot of the concerns in knowing exactly what's waiting for you on the back end of that insurance policy, so that you have a clear understanding of what needs to happen for that to be covered, if it can be covered at all. Because the pocketbook questions are the ones that I'm sure can be the most frustrating for folks if they're not apprised of that ahead of time.
Absolutely. And we have always been happy to do the background check for people for insurance. Of course, the clinicians don't treat to insurance. They treat to the health of the patient. That's always first and foremost. They're going to treat the patient based on what their body requires, not what insurance pays. But we also like to keep the patient apprised and do that background information before any treatment's done, just so they're completely 100% aware of what insurance may or may not pay.
Dr. Singletary, the pocketbook would be a big motivating factor for me making this decision. What are some other components that you tend to see patients weigh in when making a decision?
Well, I think the main thing is understanding the nature of the beast. I tell patients the most inexpensive part of periodontal therapy or oral health is what you do at home four times a day. That's cheap. That's inexpensive. You're manipulating the bacteria. And the next important thing is staying on a good maintenance program. If it's prophylaxis twice a year, or if it's a periodontal maintenance appointment, it's really people who are dentophobics, people who are worried about their pocketbook, if they would just do those two things, it slows things down. And if there's something that needs to be addressed, they can always be told, this is what you need to think about, and plan for it, rather than having a tooth crack or a decay go into the nerve, or a pocket have an abscess and they lose the tooth because of a periodontal abscess. So the most important thing is just do your thing at home, stay on a good maintenance program, and life gets in the way. You know, people have auto accidents and can't come to the office, or they have a chemotherapy and they can't do anything for a while. And you know, or as a health provider, you know, even physicians should be aware of that aspect of it. You know, a person, of course, it's a minor, they might think, but it's very important. Just be consistent.
You know, so much of our health is really, a lot of it's in our own hands. And if we're taking those preventative steps ahead of time, it really does go a long way. And, you know, if you are brushing four times a day, next time you see Dr. Singletary, you should tell him, and he'll be really impressed with you. Dr. Singletary, before we end our program for today, we're always left with an action step. What is our action step for this episode?
If you have a question and you are concerned about insurance and want to know, what do we do? You can call our office or contact us at contact@northraleighperio.com, and we can answer the questions. But I think the most important action is to seek advice and understand, do I need a prophylaxis? Do I need a periodontal maintenance appointment? And if you're not sure, give us a call.
And we can, within about 24 hours, sometimes it's the same day, we can give you information about your insurance and how that will help.
Yeah, and what I appreciate about you two is that there's no hard sell. It's about informing patients and letting them make the best decision for themselves and arming them with the information that's going to help them make those decisions as well. We're out of time for today. Thank you so much to Monica Singletary for being on with us. And on behalf of Dr. Macon Singletary, I'm Jason Kong. You've been listening to The Gum Guru.
If you would like to know more about ways to make sure your smile is healthy or more information on any of the treatments in today's discussion, check out their website at NorthRaleighPerio.com. If you have other questions you'd like to have answered on the Gum Guru podcast, send them to contact at NorthRaleighPerio.com.